October 12th Fire Protection District meeting to order. And I see that Joe, Nina, and I are here. Janice is at a convention. And Larry Nagel has some personal business. They're not here. Adoption of consent items 3, 4, 5, 6. Any comments?
Nope.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passes. Oral communications.
Hi. I just started. Sign in, Peter.
Are you waving, or did you?
No, I'm just saying hello.
Okay.
I'm making them all sign in now, Carl, just for you.
Yeah.
The Carl list here.
Okay. No oral communications, not on the board side either, I guess.
No.
So we'll move on to the fire chief's report.
Good evening. How's everyone? Hopefully you're enjoying the cool evening.
Yeah.
As I drove up the hill, I thought to myself, the season has changed. You'll see in my fire chief's report there, a mutual aid response. This is very different than I usually speak to you about. When I usually talk to you about a mutual aid response, we're sending an engine company with four members of the fire department out to work with other engine companies in what we call a strike team. I'm sure you guys are aware we have battalion chiefs that are members of the East Bay Incident Management Team. That is a two-county team made up of chief officer-level folks from Alameda County and Contra Costa County. Back on September 26th, Chief Gibson and Chief Bond were requested to respond as part of the East Bay Incident Management Team to the Loma Fire in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And I think one of the reasons I put this in here to highlight this is it's always good as an organization to get out and practice what you do and be involved in the true emergencies, because you can simulate all day long, but when you're involved in a true, as an example, a true wildland interface fire and that type of topography, all your training gets stressed and you work in an environment where it's really different. And I'm happy to say that Chief Gibson was assigned as the incident commander of that incident for the first 24 hours, and Chief Bond was assigned as a resource ordering manager. And the way CAL FIRE works on these type of incidents is this was in a jurisdiction of CAL FIRE's area. And if the incident looks like it's going to burn longer than 72 hours, then they replace the local government team and they bring in a state team. So two of our battalion chiefs were there for approximately 2 days and worked in a very high level with a lot of responsibility. And today I met with Chief Whitmer, that's the Santa Clara County CAL FIRE chief that runs that region, and he had nothing but fabulous things to say about our staff.
I'm sure he
that
did
we sent
right.
down there. So I'm very happy to report that, and you know, it's always better to get the experience in someone else's backyard. So it's
a lot of damage.
It's been a long fire season already. I was in meetings with CAL FIRE today, and we hope that Mother Nature cooperates this weekend and gives us some precipitation and even slows down fire season or even puts an end to it. CAL FIRE is talking, if we get what they're forecasting, that they'll probably start to de-staff their staffed up stations in 2 weeks. So Sunday, Monday, we'll know more. But we sure could use the precipitation. On the bottom of the report there, you'll see that on October 15th, I put this in there as a reminder. It's on the website also, and it was also in our newsletter, that we have the open house at Station 65 from 10 to 2. I can tell you we're getting lots of questions about it. When is it? At a bunch of different levels, from school-aged children to families. So it probably would be a good day if you'd like to come out and interact with the public. It looks like we'll have a great turnout.
Good.
So
it doesn't rain too much.
Yeah, well, it's it's a big apparatus room with pretty fire trucks in there, so at least you don't have to stand outside. And that's all I have for you this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
I have nothing on my report. When we get to the public safety project, I've got more to say there, but nothing else. And so we are on to new business. How should we handle this? Do you have any comments on the depreciation schedule? Okay.
Thank you very much for putting that on the agenda. I appreciate it. It started out when we had the meeting nice that we had three fire units that were all Kensington Fire Department. I wasn't aware of that. And I was thinking, we have 6,000 people give or take, and we have three fire units. And you will remember when you bought the flannel engine, and there was a discussion that night, and the question that I had was, what are we going to do with the old engine? And the answer was,
I can speak to that if you'd like. We've been trying to sell it.
Okay.
We had a prospective buyer out of the Miwok area above Sonora.
See, okay, I appreciate that. Would you let me finish?
Oh, yeah, sure. I thought you were about that. Go ahead.
So the answer was that, you know, there's a market for it. And I don't know that was a very forward kind of an answer, because it turns out that we already had one old engine from what I see. You know, the answer probably should have it. We did not have it. Where did we get the third engine?
We have two engines in Kensington. A Type 1 engine, which is for structure firefighting.
I see that on the outside sheet.
And we have a Type 3 engine, which is for wildland interface firefighting. The third one you see on here, that's the 2001, is the one we replaced with the new one for this year.
Okay. And that's the one. By the way, the list that I received was June 30th, 15. So it's a little bit out of date. It's especially out of date when you look at the total assets, and then you look at what this month's statement does. It almost has $1 million more. So tell me again, which one is the one we are trying to sell?
2001 high-tech Type 1. It's under rolling stock. It's the second item.
That's the one that we presently have listed at about 13.4, or at least it was listed at 13.4 in 2013. And so do we have an honest buyer for it? I mean, is there a possibility that we sell it?
Yes. So would you like me to answer you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm long distance from Don, but the answer is yes.
Okay. So we once the new engine goes into service, what we do with equipment is we put it up on the market in multiple different ways. We put it up through used fire truck vendors. We put it up through maintenance people that do maintenance on vehicles, and we put it out as many ways possible at what we think is a market rate. We put it out originally at $50,000. The Miwok Fire Protection District up off 108 above Sonora came and looked at it. They seemed very interested. They took it back to their board. They could not gain authorization from their board to make the purchase because they didn't have the funding. We are very close to sealing the deal with, the name is going to escape me, another fire district out of the foothills that has come forward and has offered us $30,000 for it. We're working through high-tech fire apparatus as a go-between to help us sell it. They're doing that at no charge. They're just processing it through. And I would expect in the next 30 days the vehicle will be sold.
Okay, good. And the book value at this point is clearly less than the $13,000 it was in June of 2015. See, it doesn't make sense to have three of them because there's maintenance involved.
Correct.
How many engines does El Cerrito have?
El Cerrito has two at Station 72.
Okay.
Two Type 1 engines at Station 71 and a ladder truck. And then we carry one spare Type 1 engine for all three stations, and that's kept at the El Cerrito courtyard.
Okay, fine, thank you. Then my next question is, we have a command vehicle on here. Why do we have one? We only have one commander between El Cerrito and Kensington, right?
No, you have three. There's three.
Okay.
There's three battalion chiefs.
So that's the chief below you, and
yes.
That's what you call okay.
A BC battalion chief is the B/C means okay. Battalion chief.
Okay, right. Okay. the next comment I have on the outset sheet is we have 10 items. A group of items listed that are less than $1,000. The first item on the asset sheet is like headboards, and there were five of them, and the total was $435. And we depreciated it over 15 years. We are a 6 million-plus organization, and we are depreciating items that cost $435 on five of them.
I think we want to give you every detail we could. I'm just kidding you.
If we were a full business organization, we would expose those items the moment we buy it. Now, I don't know if we use this as an asset sheet as well as an inventory on equipment. Do we have a list that gives us inventory and equipment?
This is for the items you're looking at here. These are items that are placed on the asset and inventory sheet by the district's accountant.
Okay. So, if you have an equipment list, what you normally do once a year, you go through there and see if you still have all of the equipment, and then you sign up. But when you look at that, there are 10 items that we depreciate over 15 years. All we are doing is keep the accountant busy. I'm surprised Debbie lets you do that.
It's at Debbie's direction.
Okay. But, I mean, she is the professional who might say, why don't you expense the item, forget it, because then it's gone.
Okay. It's just been carried over. Those were bought in, like, 1970-something?
1999.
Yeah. It is an inventory and depreciation list, and it's just being carried over.
Can you hear her?
Yes.
Can you? Okay.
So do we go through this list once a year and see if we still have all the items?
Yes.
Okay, good, okay. I got my answers. I'm not saying I'm satisfied, but I got my answers.
Well, it might be overkill, and I guess we could talk to our accountant maybe at the end of next year, if they have a different take on it.
However, on the other hand, it's important that we know what's in the firehouses, and this is our list. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two things. One,
because we have to provide for.
Well, I guess if you make a list, then it ends up in depreciation. Okay, all right. So you're generally satisfied.
Do we have an updated list for 2016?
It hasn't been approved because the audit's still going on.
Oh, okay. May I have one by the time the audit is completed and we have one?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just
yes.
Information question. Which of the two engines gets most of the EMS?
Call volume, the majority of the call volume goes to the Type 1 engine. Yeah.
And when the Type 1 is being serviced, then the other one is called up, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Depending on where we have engines and what placement's going on, we have the Type 3 that can be used to backfill or the spare one that we carry at the courtyard for all the stations.
But when you have both of them available, the Type 1.
Mm-hmm. That's the primary response vehicle.
Does our engine ever go on a fire call?
Nope.
No. This is the Caltrain one that goes?
At this point, the only one we have in the system is the OES ring.
Okay. Not Caltrain, but Cal Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any other questions on depreciation? Okay. We're going to be done here in a flash. Finance Committee, Janice usually handles that, I think. Basically, we're finishing out the year. We've approved some things, so there's not much there. I'm going to do a little report. I'm going to do a kind of a half-long report on our public safety feasibility thing. And I think some of you have heard this before, but just in case, I'm going to start from the beginning. So in the spring. Or actually it was, I think, January, we determined that we wanted to look at a feasibility study for the building to see what the next steps would be. About that time, we also had a structural assessment done, and some of you will remember that the report was either said we should do a really serious upgrade or we should replace it. And that kind of kicked this process up a little bit, I think. So the purpose is to really look to see, are we going to renovate? Are we going to replace the building on existing site? And then later you'll hear that maybe we need to look at other site too. And the building is really obsolete from almost every point. It needs this major seismic upgrade. It's very expensive to maintain, kind of $100,000 a year, which seems ludicrous. And I think equally important is that the operational facility for police and fire is really inadequate, and some of those people that walk through will see that. It's undersized far beyond industry standards. I think the police particularly have the worst of the two facilities. They have a lot of security issues that we don't have that they really would like to have done differently. We informed CSD that we were doing this. I talked to the board president, and that we'd be doing this, and the police staff participated in the programming for their facility. And I think that the Chief Hart is leaving at the end of the month, and I think the staff that worked on that could, you know, would support any kind of program questions that might come up as we go further down the way. Rachel, who Harris-Watt, who's not here tonight, I guess, is on the CSD board, and she, one of her charges is to look after the facilities, and I've kept her informed as we've gone through this process. I think we're getting to a point where we're going to show her, you know, kind of what we have. We don't have any formal agreement with CDS on how they will participate as we go down the road. And I think we'll get to the point where we'll have to have that discussion. We retained an architectural firm, Ross Drulis, Kusenberry. They do public safety, law enforcement, things like that. And they were selected through a process, and along with their team members, to do the study. And then MAC5, who's looked after a number of construction projects for us, is sort of managing the process, and they will do cost estimates and project schedules. The team toured the building, analyzed it, and then I think the important part was the spatial programs, which I alluded to maybe a little bit ago, and some diagrammatic approaches for the combined facility. And the approaches that we're working on are the seismic upgrade only. We're going to get a cost on that. We don't think that's the right place to stop, but I think just as kind of a measure, we'll see what that costs. A renovation with an addition on it, and then demolishing and rebuilding on the existing site, and then recently we've decided to look at a new site. And that happened because it was pretty. What we're trying to do basically is put about a 10,000 square foot building, program is more than 10, on a site where we now have a 5,800 square foot building. And even digging out and adding on, you know, it's really challenging, and a kind of interesting sort of thing is the more area you put on the building, the more cars you put out into the street, you know, to the point where, you know, some of these schemes, we've got squad cars to try to meet the program. So it's challenging. We've been really happy with the architectural team. They looked at a number of schemes that we've kind of tossed out, and we are going to go ahead and cost the ones that we think we'd like to look at. Then the next thing is, I should back up a little bit. So the goal was to try to reuse the existing site in some fashion. We talked to the two parcel owners on either side, and they said no. And I think as we came to look at, you know, trying to reuse it, we had more of a depth problem than a width problem. And we can't make the site any deeper. So we decided then to not necessarily kill the other schemes, but to add prototypical new site scheme. And the chief and I and a number of other people have looked around town to see what is there. And, you know, it's a built-up, hilly community. We looked at, down at the Circle, we looked at East Bay Mud. Lance was very good at saying he wants a station that's pretty much in the middle of the community. If we go someplace else, it would be better to get it from that far end more into the middle. And then along the Arlington, which, you know, has good circulation. So some of these other sites kind of went away. And so we've kind of backed into looking at the community park as a possible site. And that is a little bit of a loaded sort of contentious thing, I think. But at the same time, it does present a place where we could do a building that might be cheaper than trying to down the street, and we'd get the full program out of it. So that's where we are right now, and there is this idea of not taking away parkland, but I think the building could, in addition to being a fire police building, could be a really good building that would be sustainable, that have low carbon footprint, energy efficient, durable, and things that you know, grass on the roof, things that could make it fit in on the site. So we have that to sell, and we know that at least one person is not too happy with us this week. But I think
that a lot of folks.
I think we're just going to have to kind of try to present what we're trying to do, and also be clear on what we've looked at in the past that we're not able to quite pull off. So that's sort of where we are. In terms of the design part, about a month ago or so, we started looking at some funding kind of options. How are we going to pay for this? And we're looking at cash plus a loan. And so we are determining how much we actually can afford to pay back, you know, on the loan. And that then becomes kind of our budget. We've done a little bit of costing on it, but we now have asked MAC-5 to do costing for all of these different approaches. And I think that when it's all done, there might be a little sort of reconciliation between the funding and the facility we can get. But I think we'll get pretty close on it. And so that's where we are. The most of the report will be done in about another month. I looked at the schedule today, and end of the architects are looking at delivering a draft the end of November. We think that's a good time. I think we really want to talk about the new CSD board rather than now, so we'll see what that is. And probably having maybe a public meeting for this, because we're spending millions and millions of dollars. It's a big project. So probably we can do that in December, probably at the earliest. And that's about where we are. And it would be up to the board then to decide which of these approaches they want to take, which is going to be based on, you know, funding and another sort of thing. So that's, yes.
I have two questions.
Yep.
One is, then I assume that we would demolish the building. If we moved the new building up to the park, we would demolish that building and then sell them.
That would be the scheme, yeah. We've left that out of the financial sort of thing. You know, if we stayed there, then we would demolish it, or we'd renovate it, whatever way we went.
Because presumably the land would bring quite a bit of
Yeah, money. I think we haven't really seen it as an asset, because I think if we demolish it and do hazmat stuff as you're pulling it down, and if we take out some of the retaining walls, you know, it could be that we've ended up maybe almost giving it away. I think we'll get an idea of the demolition cost when it was costing for.
I see. The second question is probably a crazy idea, but
when they have said crazy,
given all of the stuff about the two buildings really needing extensive retrofitting, community center,
yeah,
in addition to the public safety building, is there any possibility that perhaps the two could be combined in some, you know, wonderfully beautiful architectural green building, and that those funds come together to create this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They're about the same point we are. Is that right?
Yeah.
They were going to pick architects.
Looking for plans, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I haven't thought about that. You know, we thought about maybe talking the library into moving our old building and building a new building there, or taking down Ace Park. I mean, we had some, we looked at a lot of crazy ideas, but had not thought about combining them. And I think one of the things that Lance has pointed out is that we're really making a kind of, if we go ahead and succeed in building the building on the property, and the sort of part of the park that interests us is on the Arlington and then pushed up against the library project and then, you know, into the trees a little bit. The library property line kind of goes about 30 feet or so beyond their building. So in any way, it is a kind of a civic center. We've got the church, we've got this building, we've got childcare, and we would have, you know, the main public building there. So it seems like it makes sense to us. And that's, I'm the architect, I should have had that idea, but it was Lance's. So anyway, that's where we are. You know, we'll have some hard sort of things to do, and we'll be probably trying out the water to see where the site, the park site, might be. Any questions?
Yeah, Don, you mentioned about the new CSD board.
Yes.
And what were you referring to about?
Well, it seems... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have you broached the subject of the land with the existing board yet?
I got an email from Chuck saying that why don't we look at going into the park, and that kind of gave us a little bit of initiative to say, okay, now it's fair that we can look at that. He had an interesting sort of thing that we would finance everything, and but you know, so but anyway, so he knows that the current chairman doesn't know about the park, but for sure Rochelle knows.
Any reference to the new board? I'm sorry.
Well, it just seems to me the new board then will, you know, as we begin to get further into this, the new board is the one that's going to have to decide how they participate.
It would strike me as very difficult to try to combine this building with a public safety building.
It seems to me only financing or something, I don't think.
Well, it's not only financing, but location. Yeah. I mean,
you're thinking...
I didn't know what was actually thinking of when she mentioned that. But, were you thinking of combining this?
I was kind of thinking of all of, you know, the buildings that are the annex and stuff that there might be a possibility of having kind of levels of, in other words, keeping this building in its place, but then having a public safety building up there and then having perhaps like roof levels that are coming down that would be parking and that kind of thing.
I suspect you get a lot of opposition for
them. Yeah, we're looking at on the Arlington.
Yeah, on the Arlington. I think what we're trying to do is not impact the developed part and stay away from that. We did talk about this in the late 90s, and we thought about that, and we really got hammered on it. So I didn't want to go back and try that again. And I think the Arlington is the place it ought to be.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one thing that should be said is, and Don said this, we've given everything a cursory look.
Right.
You know, what could possibly work? I think our goal here is to pull together the schemes of options for remodel, tear down, rebuild, relocate, and come forward with some tentative drawings, some cost estimates, and seek feedback from the public that we serve. I believe there will be a group from each camp that thinks this spot, and I think that's when we air the public discussion and feedback. Right now, everything is just, what are the options and what would be the things that are ridiculous to consider that we don't even need to consider? And so, I mean, that's just where we are there.
Have you thought about possibly selling the building intact and the existing public safety?
You know, I mean, I've thought about all those things. We haven't talked about it much because we haven't quite known what its fate will be. We are having a hard time getting a scheme out of adding on to the existing building, and we are having a hard time getting the program to fit on that small site. So, you know, it kind of leads us to staying away. So I don't know. I think what we would do is we would have to talk to the real estate community, and they would tell us whether we have to clear it or we can try to sell it as is.
Yeah, because I would suspect it cost you significantly to tear that down.
Yeah, that's why we haven't seen it as an asset.
Right.
Okay.
I certainly think this is going to be an opportunity, at least, and will be a partnership relationship with the Community Services District. This is way too big for, especially when we talk about land use. This is clearly going to involve both boards. So I don't know, maybe it's early, but it seems like we could at least start thinking about a couple of our folks sitting down with a couple of the Community Service District folks. And we have you're the building, you're the property. Directors,
that's
right?
We're
there already.
Yeah. Oh, you're there already. Yeah. So you go away for the summer, and life goes on. Yeah. Well, good. I concur with your idea. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to down the board reports. Not much there. Education, Jen, it's not.
Just so I can put this out there, because these are really two extremely popular events. The pharmaceutical drop-off is on October 22nd. And the shredding event, which is unbelievably popular,
it's with you guys,
is on the 29th of October.
Okay.
Busy month.
Let's see. Larry's gone, so we're not going to ask for any sort of reports going on down there. If you have a packet, you'll see that we got a thank you. From the Gillian family for some service that we did last. I don't know what that is, but a nice thank you.
It was for a response to their house.
A response, okay. So we're done. Short meeting.
Could I request that things like the shredding event and the pharmaceutical drop off be sent to me to put in the calendar?
In a time.
Oh, we're not doing that?
No, that would be nice.
Yeah, it would be.
Oops.
Okay. We'll try to do better.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Were you class of 66 when they had?
What?
Were you class of 66?
Yeah, 66.
You going to the reunion?
I'm actually not. No, I'm going to go to the meeting. There's a sort of meet up at Brennan's.
The night before. The night before.